Then I was just wondering, have you ever had one of those daydreams of fantasy that you were a quarterback? And if you did, or if you've done this, and then Ken Harvey was running you down, chasing you down, trying to sack you. Have you ever had that type of, just daydreaming?
I have not, but I know it wouldn't end well for me.
You're right. It wouldn't. And I'm telling you what, I didn't plan. I used to watch this dude get part of Ken's greatness, as most great players are. There's a part of that they're sick. He took great joy in inflicting pain upon people. I think part of the training process when you're in there laboring, you ever watch this dude lift weights? He's putting in that work so he can torture his opponents. And I miss him and watching Washington, all those guys. And they had a group of them. What made them good was the way they trained together. Those guys had a very close-knit team. And during this time of the year, I always think about Ken Harvey and that group. He joins us now. And I wonder, this time of the year, there's good memories and bad memories for anybody that's ever played in this league. But are you pleased, Ken, with what you've seen and what you anticipate will happen with our pass rush possibilities this year with the Burgundy and Gold?
So let me jump back real quick.
Okay.
The reason why I try to hit quarterbacks like that, because one day my dad told me, he's like, boy, why are you helping that quarterback up? And so my dad was like, you need to hit somebody. And that kind of put me straight. So yes. And to your question, pass rush has been good. I mean, I think you're gonna miss the guys that were there before, the Montez Sweat and Young, Chase Young. But I think it's good, and I think with the team, everything's moving in the right direction. I mean, you look at training camp. There was no negative news, right? And usually there was some negative news. Players seemed like they wanted to be there, and I think one of the greatest things is that I was reading an article that Montez Sweat said, and he's like, the attitude was like, you didn't want to be here. The attitude was, we're going to lose. And you don't see that attitude now. Everybody has a belief that they can win, and the ownership is making it happen with a lot of things that they're doing. So talent's on the field, attitude's there. Preseason games were, you saw enough to know that there's potential.
I'm so glad you mentioned Montez Sweat, who didn't say a lot when he was here. I found that interesting as well, that people talked about how dysfunctional the level of negativity that surrounded the past staff and the outfit. Whether or not we saw it, we reported it or not, you're hearing that come out. And so this has been a positive framework. And, everything changes, man. When we got in, I got in the league earlier than you, and, the camps were barbaric. It was ridiculous compared to now. And we didn't change it because people couldn't take it. They changed it because they got smarter and they realized that they were killing the guys who make the living. It didn't make sense. It wasn't necessary to produce the outcome they were trying to get.
Yeah, practice was a lot of times harder than the games. I mean, you were killing yourselves in training camp, those double days. And especially now, especially with the salaries and all that stuff, you can't afford to get guys hurt in practice. And even long term, health wise, it's just a better game, and that's the goal of anything is to get better. And so I think if anything, it's the fundamental things you have to get right. It's not necessarily that you have to hit everybody and practice all the time, but you need to know your angles. You need to know that your sideline is your friend. You need to know how to hit a person. Those are the fundamental type of things that you can practice without actually having to hit somebody. And so, the game is getting a little bit smarter and a little bit safer.
I was talking to Denton, and I was saying, I love Jamin Davis because I think that He was misused. What he does, he's an attack dog that wasn't allowed to attack. And they put him down. When I saw his hand in the ground, I thought of you, and I said, I can't wait to see what Ken Harvey sees in him since he's playing a position you played. When you view his quicks, he don't have your power, but he's got the quicks. What's your early analysis?
It's good. I mean, so you know, and that's the thing. You said it, they misused him, right? And when I first came out, they tried to have me to be a cover guy instead of a pass rusher. And I had to prove it every day in practice. And I think having speed and quickness off the ball is dangerous in itself because, you know, offensive linemen, they got to adjust to that. But then it's what they do. It's the setup move. You know, now they're worried about your speed. Now you can break something inside. Now they're worried about your speed. You can use leverage against a person and even bull rush them. They have to respect your speed. And so now I think for him, it's just knowledge of the game. And he has, you know, Ryan Kerrigan, he has great pass rushing people that can teach him how to understand what offensive linemen do. And that's the science of it, is that you got to know what your skill set is, master your skill set, but then you also have to know what the offensive linemen are doing and what can you use against them to be successful.
Double D, you got to tap into this base of knowledge, man. If anything you want to know about that defensive front, there's nobody better at it.
Well, Ken, I'm really glad you mentioned the coaching element of this. Like, what do you think is a fair, I don't know if timeline is the right word, but when can we expect to see Jamin Davis? Because I think he's gotten better throughout this offseason at the pass rush and gotten more comfortable. But when do you think he's really going to kind of jump into a rhythm when it comes to his maneuvers and getting pressure off the outside?
But, you know, to really kind of dominate it, be 4 or 5 games in, and it depends on how often they play, but 4 or 5 games in, because, you know, one, when you feel like you've been misplaced and you feel like, this is home, you start performing better. He's eager to learn. He has the tools, the basic tools that you can't necessarily coach. You can't coach speed. You can't necessarily coach. You can improve on it. So he has all that. So then you start getting a couple of wins. And I think, you know, preseason, he got a couple of wins. In practice, you get a couple of wins. And about 4 or 5 games in, you start getting that rhythm. And it's also, a lot of times people will look at just you as they looked at just me, but it's the guys around you that make you that much better. You got that front four. You got some beast out there on the front of the line that can push the quarterback. So he has to step back a little bit more or move to the side a little bit more, and that's going to increase your chance of getting the sack, because then you can use your speed and get around a person, or if the quarterback's trying to run away from you, you use your speed and chase him down. So I think in 4 or 5 games, it'll be more of a team thing, and he'll get some coverage sacks and some sacks because of other players, not necessarily just based off of his skills alone.
Cardinals, I know being in Cincinnati, when winning is not automatic. When you're in transition, it's a different league than when you are winning or on a roll with a program. I always thought there's two different NFLs. And getting to that point where you have momentum as an organization is rough. I feel a different vibe with this group. That's what I'm encouraged by. And I wonder what your take is on it. We've seen a number of different, this is my 14th different change since 1980. And I know you've been through a lot as well. Mm-hmm. What about this group interests you most?
Well, so as players, or as far as getting players, you know, one thing that I was impressed with was that they got enough veterans, and they realized that you need veterans.
Yes.
To take care of guys, to be leaders on the team. But then they also got enough young guys who are willing to play and willing to do whatever. That's the first thing. The attitude is, you know, you want to walk into a stadium and you want to feel like they care about you. That means the fans, that means the former players, that means the players that are playing. you want to feel like they care about you. And, you know, you had a gold mine. The gold mine was here. Fans were dying to have a good team or somebody to care for, and it seems like the ownership is doing that. And so I think, you know, those are some of the talents. But you got a coach who has the right attitude. He has enough of not just kind of one direction, right? You know, you need a coach that'll get excited and run up and hit you in the head and sometimes yell at you, but you also need a coach that's going to pat you on the back and say, good job. We need players like that. So I think it's a good combination of all that, and it's something that's been missing. You know, you can feel the atmosphere. I mean, even you said, you know, you're saying that I can feel the difference. You can feel the atmosphere, and that atmosphere can bring you down. You ever be around somebody, you're at a dinner, and they just kind of like, and why am I here? And they don't say it, but it just brings everything down. You don't feel like eating, right? And so, but you got somebody that's energetic and like, man, I love this thing. You're like, man, what are you eating? Because I want some of that because it's good. And that's what you need with the organization. I think the organization is braining that because, you know, they did their research. They invested their time well. They invested their money. You've seen no negative stuff. And if there is negative, they try to get rid of it and not wash it under the rug. It just said, we're not going to be an organization that's going to tolerate it. And so don't think that you're going to come here being one of those people. And that set the tone from the get-go.
Yeah, and I say that, and you and I both survived teams that didn't have winning traditions.
Yeah.
And when you come to a fan base that treats you like you're in college, that doesn't happen every pro city. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
And you try to tell these young guys, hey, man, don't y'all blow this. This is not how it works at every NFL city. So we appreciate you, man. Now, how about on the children's book? You know, Kent is an author. He does children's book. He does so many different things outside of his broadcast career. And I'm wondering, we've got a young man at the station that we're thinking about. We thought it'd be great if you would maybe consider writing something on him. Don't you think that him writing something on Zion would be outstanding?
Don't do Linnell like that.
No, I'm serious.
Well, I'm seeing it's like a lob volleyball or something, or a tennis ball that I'm supposed to swing at. You know, look, the reason I write the children's books, they're plant seeds, right? And as we, you know, as adults, a lot of everything that who we are based off of the seeds that were planted in our lives. And whether it's good seeds, bad seeds, whether the fertilizer that was around it was good or bad, the rain, you know, all that stuff. If you look at it like a plant, it can grow and it can become something special. And so it's like everything in life. You played a vital role with my boys, planting good seeds in their hearts and minds, even when the coaches were kind of messing them up. And so, you know, I'm forever thankful for that, because sometimes it's not the parent that the kid listens to. The parent is the one that's toiling every day and not getting any results, you know, but someone to come along and say the same thing that the parent said, but your kid is going to listen to them just because it's that person. And it's only because the parent's been toiling the whole time that when it hits. And so, you know, that's the reason, like I said, that's the reason I kind of write the children's books, because, you know, I just want to plant some good seeds. I've seen my boys grow and a lot of good people around them. And, you know, it's payback in a way.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. And your kids were great kids and great kids to coach. I was honored to do it and loved the fact that I knew what they had been told. And I knew that the example that was set for them was impossible. It was impossible for them to reach it. So I wanted them to create their own set of goals for themselves and take the pressure off of them. You know, it's almost reminding me of like when I'm seeing with LeBron and his son on his team. You know, we're in this town now, and Ken Harvey's son, Denton, is playing defense. Come on, man. He's got no chance to live up to that in high school. So, but he's got great feel for the, he's got natural instincts. He's quick to the ball. He's not a defensive lineman. He's a linebacker. He's a different position guy. He's got a different body type. But he was instinctual. For him, it was just a natural, with it, but in a two-point stance. So, and then again, that's the beauty about youth coaching. And we got so many good youth coaches in our area. And that's why I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited about Coach Loxley, who came up in this area and as a youth and has a chance to establish a major seed in the DMV at the University of Maryland. And a lot of these kids that come through these youth systems and programs and youth programs can have benefited from that. And you're right. And this is what it's all about. So you keep doing what you're doing. We'll keep promoting and keep talking about it because we reinvesting in young people in all sports, swimming, golf, tennis, you name it. And your children's books, give it kids a website you can give out anybody that wants, that doesn't even know what we're talking about, but would love to get a hold and follow your work.
Well, I don't have a website right now because I'm writing a new book that I'm really excited about. Once that comes out, I'll put the website, I'll give you the website. And let you know about it. But I'm excited about the potential I think it has. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Keep doing your thing. Ken Harvey, as Coach Thompson would say, simply one of the best. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And hopefully we'll
appreciate
ring
you,
bell again. All right. Thank you. That is, I call him Mr. Harvey. Man's arms that big, man. I ain't messing with him. I call him Mr. Harvey. And love seeing him. That group, man, when they played, B. Mitch was on that team. I covered that team. I had so much fun covering that team. They had physical freaks. The way they trained, they were a close-knit group. And that's what it takes to win. And that's what this year's team, it gives me memories. It reminds me of that because they've got just this vibe. And the vets haven't even been really out there a whole bunch because guys have been held out, and that's rightfully so. You just haven't seen this. Wait until you see this defensive unit in full attack mode. That's what I'm more excited about. Even more so than seeing five at quarterback, I am more excited about watching this defense do its thing. Take a break. We'll come back. You got a chance to share your opinion as well at 301-230-0980 is the number right here on the Team 980 Listener Line. Back in a moment. Denton Day is pushing all the right buttons today. It's cool having Ken Harvey on, man, writing children's books. And I noticed you pulled out that big novel yesterday, and you're back to we were running out of time, and you were reading again. Now, are you doing this to, did the doctors recommend this as a way to lower the blood pressure? Or in an era of podcasts and audio books and all of that, why did Denton Day go old school on us with the reading?
Well, there are a few things just generally, Doc, that I think are better than reading a book in hand. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a comforting thing to do. But
You're a man of great culture, and you work for, again, I get it.
Well, I mean, the reason is because I was spending too much time on my laptop. So I'm like, how do I stop staying up late on a computer? Well, I read. That's how.
Were you surfing the web? Were you adding data? What, when you say on a computer, what were you doing?
Just like going down ridiculous rabbit holes of YouTube videos. You can only watch so many Gordon Ramsay.
You do that on your laptop as opposed to your phone.
Yeah, I don't watch things on my phone.
Oh, okay.
My eye, you see me. I got six eyes, right? I got the glasses. Yeah. My eyes aren't very good.
You want the big screen. I'm with you.
Plus, there's some really good books out there that I was just completely neglecting.
Now, are you a, what's your form of reading?
What do you mean?
Like my preferred? Of what style? You want to, does it have to be historical? Does it have to be fantasy fiction? Do you want really in the moment?
I mean, I'll read really anything. I'm reading a fantasy series now, so it's, you know.
Oh, okay, good. So you can do fantasy.
Yeah,
all right.
I do fantasy. Big thriller guy. Love thrillers.
Okay.
And I love the song, yeah.
No, it's a good deal. I'm impressed. I don't want to encourage this online because people just take it crazy, but I do get some great things online. Somebody said that the wind was blowing wherever his yacht was, the helicopter's having difficulty landing on his yacht. Poor guy. I mean, he's always put in the frame of this exotic lifestyle. And he's really a pretty simple guy when you think about it. But the public has him as definitely a Chateaubriand guy and at the highest level. And that, I find it hilarious. I always get a big kick out of it. They always have him on a red carpet type lifestyle. Red carpet type lifestyle. A little interesting thing that popped up today about Bron Bron and his son. It's going to happen pretty soon, Bronny. Maybe not a lot. What would he call his son? What would he expect his son to call him? Been a fast break situation. He wanted to yell out at him. What do you call him? Dad? Goat?
Dad?
2-3?
2-3. Hey, buddy.
And, one of the big debates today is that you can't call him dad.
Well, I mean, how often are they going to be on a fast break together?
No, I mean, other than practice, probably not at all.
Yeah, I was about to say, they're never going to be on the floor together. Things have gone really bad for the Lakers if they're on the floor together.
Yeah, I know. But I just thought, I said, I got to run this by Denton because that would be. And he was saying that Bron throws it out there. And I love Bron because Bron is always somebody going to have a conversation about him. But Bron to say you could call him GOAT, I mean, that's really. I mean, really. You say, you old man, he goes, hey, GOAT. That's good. I thought you'd get a kick out of that. The fact that if they are definitely on.
I mean, he can call him GOAT, but that's like a tough thing to, you know, when you're thinking of running in transition. Hey, GOAT.
Hey, GOAT. Yeah,
yeah,
I just
weird.
Don't think you did.
Yeah.
And 2-3. That's still, and I know it's trivial. I shouldn't say it, but I got to. I thought he was 6. And when I go 2-3, is that flattery? Is that a tribute? Is that something we should look upon and say, man, that was awful big of him. He's wearing Mike's number. Or should I have just let that go?
I mean, you should probably let that go.
Okay, all right. Well, let it go.
Hey, he was influenced by Mike. You know, think of it
and
as more
a
of
good,
a nod.
Not a bad. No, look, I'm, like I said, I'm not trying to be messy. I'm just saying, I always thought, if you all that, you do your own thing. You know, you don't, but then again, I was just thinking, look, we don't even need that because we got a whole bunch on the plate to go after. You blew me away with the Josh Allen voted most overrated quarterback by 103 NFL players. And you were noted to say why 103, which I thought was good. Not the reaction off CeeDee Lamb being signed by the boys that I thought. And have we really measured? Who's the last person that had the kind of power that Dakota has as a player? Has there been a player? Who's the last player that had that kind of power in a contract?
I don't think he has that as much power as you do.
Are you serious?
100%.
Please, flatter. I mean, break it down. Educate me.
I mean, how much power do you have if you're getting into the last year of your contract? You know, that's power in contracts, guys that don't need to get that far in. That to me is power. Like Patrick Mahomes signing a 10-year, $500 million deal, that's power.
Okay.
This like
so
playing
you don't think that
crying
it's power
wolf.
To where you're in complete control of your destiny when you're playing for, quote, America's team, and when the outcome of you getting $60 million a year is pretty much guaranteed.
Well, if it was guaranteed, he'd have it.
Well, I said pretty much. He's got to play. Once the season ends, he's not like he's broke now, and he's got to be virtually a free agent. He's not bound by anything that the club can't stop him from.
Oh, so you're talking he has power outside of Dallas. I thought you were talking about power with Dallas. I was like, he doesn't have power with Dallas at all.
No. He's not. But I'm just saying, who's the last person that's had this kind of control? That they can't do certain things to him. I mean, I feel like Jerry should have closed this book like 2 years ago and worked this out.
That's
Well, no, it's not, because he's got revenue. And plus, it keeps him in the conversation. It's about we mentioning him. And he's turned it into money. He's turned it into value, rather. And as sick as that is, I don't think he worries one second about not having Dak at quarterback. Didn't you mention early on in one of the updates that he got another senior citizen to come in and play running back?
They did sign Dalvin Cook. They're creating the 2018 All-Star team in 2024.
Yeah, that's awesome. I loved Dalvin when he was balling. Don't know. You know, say, I guess two of them, two senior citizens. I just want them to keep doing whatever the heck they're doing, because it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, it works for us. So, yeah, keep going. The most interesting story in the NFL for me is the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm betting on Mike Brown. Seen his work. He ain't playing. I mean, they usually don't ever give in. And I just don't see. You have a feel for the Bengals?
It's my Super Bowl team.
Man, there's so much about you still have to learn.
All you got to learn is Joe Burrow. That's all you got to learn.
Well, no, I'm with you in that. You and I agree with that. What about Coach? Coach is not a big, he's not a Burrow guy.
Sheehan, no. He's a Herbert guy.
Yeah, he's a Herbert guy. No, he's a Herbert guy.
Try to talk him into it. He won't get off Herbert.
Herbert is really freakish athlete. He really is. And I don't want to blame him for being stuck with a coach like we had. He had the AFC version of what we had, the NFC version of. And you shouldn't wish that on anybody. But he had him. You really believe that? Well, that's where you got to have. I mean, Joe Burrow to me, next to Mahomes, and a lot of things, he looks smoother than Patrick. There are a lot. I mean, just when you watch him operate, this dude, man. He's a gunfighter. He would be like Cool Hand Luke. He just love watching him play. I really do. He got some weapons, though. And I'm not certain that they can do that without those weapons. What Patrick has impressed me beyond anything I could ever imagine is what he has done with losing weapons. And still being able to make it rain. That to me is incredible.
Oh, he's still like, he's still like Kelsey. I think if you're Burrow, you just need Chase. T. Higgins obviously is a nice, good player, but they're willing to let him go for a reason. It's all about Jamar Chase once that contract comes in.
Yeah, but he had two or three of them. They got some talent, man. They may not have, there's only one GOAT. But they didn't suck, man. They had athletes.
Oh, I know they didn't suck, but like, I mean, Tyler Boyd was good. He wasn't great. He dropped passes, touchdown passes in the postseason game. They had CJ Uzama for that 1 year, but like, it really is. It's Burrow and Chase, like it's Mahomes and Kelsey, like it's Tua and Tyreek, like it was Rodgers and Adams. Like, you just need that one guy. As long as you got the connection with the one guy, you gotta figure out the rest.
Yeah, well, we even know that here with Terry. I mean, no matter what, and all the
It's like eight different dudes in Terry.
Yeah, that we pushed him with. But, you know, T has always found a way. And that's why I just hope once that he gets the opportunity to have a stud that's feeding him on a regular basis, that would be and then the other position will open itself up. It'll open itself up. That's why I'm glad that De'Ami Brown stepped up. I don't know if he's getting credit for he stepped up. We questioned him, and he stepped up, you know, and he elevated his game. And I think he started this whole trickle-down movement was what De'Ami did from day one, right out the jump. First play, when he went on the jump, that established the fact that he ain't going nowhere, and he's going to compete. And that's what you need. I think that's really, really important. The big ones competed inside. I guess the one thing we got to see right now is that rush in position. And a lot of guys didn't play, so there's a lot. And we probably will interrupt this broadcast for a special news bulletin when somebody drops off somebody else's team, and I think we're going to be like Jaws. I'm really looking forward to what we pick up. I think it's going to be... I got a feeling that we're going to make a little bit of noise by the next time we meet. Now, that's what's trending with me. What's trending with you?
Well, here's a stat that seems impossible. The Panthers claimed cornerback Tariq Castro Fields off of waivers today. He was cut by Washington yesterday. He is the first cut down day cut that has been claimed by anybody since 2020. The first guy that was cut here since 2020 on cut down day to be claimed. Congratulations, Tariq Castro Fields. Maybe you'll get some sort of trophy. I don't know. That stat feels impossible. It speaks largely to the inability of the Ron Rivera era to develop or evaluate talent when he was here in Washington. That stat also makes me want to cry a little bit on the inside. Last night in Major League Baseball, Washington beats the Yankees by a score of 4-2. Dylan Cruz gets a double. It was his first career hit. He does so off of Gerrit Cole, so save that ball really for life if you're Dylan Cruz. Yanks and Nats back at it today, 6:45. This one's going to be on Prime Video, so if you're like me and don't have Amazon or don't have Masson because you got the YouTube TV, you can watch this thing on Prime. It's going to be Mackenzie Gore and Carlos Rodon on the mound in that one. First pitch at 6:45 at Nats Park. And that's what's trending.
This NFL coverage on the Team 980 is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. And you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Oh, boy. Is any chance Coach is at in New York at the Open?
I would say slim, but he has a much better chance of being at the Open than you or I do.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no. I'm all eyes on the Open. I'll give him that.
Oh, I'm not even that.
Oh, I know you're not. Well, again, you're a literary guy. Now you're breaking new ground. You're a trailblazer. And that's one thing I've learned about you. And plus, with Miami and the Gators in a matchup, the Tigers and the Trojans, what if you don't mind that I flip the script a little bit to college football. What fancies your eye? Is there a matchup? Is there a Final Four that Denton Day is salivating over from a collegiate standpoint?
Well, you're looking this weekend at WVU and Penn State that I think can be a lot of fun. Oh, obviously, man, Miami years. And Florida. Yeah. Georgia and Clemson's a big matchup, but I don't anticipate that that's going
is
to
it?
Be all that exciting.
No, you say it's big. Well, are we thinking Clemson 5 years ago or Clemson now?
It's ranked on ranked. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, ranked on ranked.
What's your gut tell you?
Well, my gut tells me that Clemson doesn't stand a chance.
Okay, right.
Because you're like you said, it's not 2018 anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, if Dabo Sweeney wants to do the old way, that's perfectly fine, but you're not going to win championships that way.
Yeah, and, you know, I was doing ACC football his first year there, and one thing about Dabo, I enjoyed him. Everything he said he was going to do, he did it. And to be there at the beginning of a dynasty run and to see it being laid out, I'll never forget those seasons and seeing Bobby Bowden and seeing FSU at the peak of his dynasty when they were just vicious, and they have done the game when Virginia beat them. So these college is just probably the hardest thing, and you as a guy who lives in the wager world, it's the hardest thing to predict. Evident by the opener, Yellow Jackets and Seminoles. So you want to give us just a couple of previews or a couple of things that you feel good about, or you want to save it all?
Well, we'll go into deeper detail on Friday's show. You know, we don't have any NFL games this weekend, so we can. I don't know if I have the liberty of doing a smell test, but we might have smell test picks from the guy that normally does them, so we can discuss some of those.
He's kind of occupied right now. I was just thinking about this. It dawned on me. I said, "Oh my God! I mean, it's the Canes and Gators." And it's brutal. I mean, I know it. You know, FSU and Florida State get a lot of it, but you know, Canes and Gators. That's also it stirs up a pot too.
Two teams that are going in very different directions, at least on paper, which is surprising because it's only a 2.5-point line. I would have thought that it would be much longer than that due to the fact that Miami has so much expectations and Florida does not. I mean, Florida's a disaster this year, at least they're projected to be, which if you're a college football historian and you grew up in the era that I grew up in.
How can they be a disaster?
I mean, you look at that schedule. Pull that schedule up. I mean, it's jammed. It's one of the final five games for them is an absolute gauntlet. Like, you got to storm the SEC Capitol and be like, how did you guys give us this for the final five games? It's unreal.
Lions and ears. I'm telling you what, man, the atmosphere. I don't know if you've been. Have you been at a West Virginia home game?
I have.
Against a rival or somebody like Virginia Tech or something, the meaning when them muskets come out. It's a hell of an atmosphere. It's a hell of an atmosphere. I used to love it when Maryland, when the Terps and Ears used to clash annually. There have been some nice matchups. I just adore it, man. College is just... How about the alma mater? I know you went to... Didn't you go to Arizona last year?
I went to, for the Fiesta Bowl.
Went out to the Fiesta Bowl. Do you get that privilege or you have to wait till the bowls? And with your new assignment, let's talk about your new assignment. What will that mean for us here on the local tip?
Nothing.
Okay.
I mean, you just get to acknowledge how brilliant I am on the local
tip.
Well,
we do that. Yeah. I guess we can do it more.
Yeah, we can do it more. I mean, I would say that it's never too much, you know, but.
Well, that's true. Well, like you and I, we share this in that and not everybody's been at them, but these iconic collegiate venues for the quote game. They're not on fire every week, but when they are for that particular matchup, they're hard to beat. Yet there's a lot of them that deserve their due. Based on the atmosphere, where you eating at, how you tailgating, just nothing like it. And one of these days, I just would love to get your top five.
Of
and then
teams
your wish
this year?
Huh?
Of teams this year? Like, I haven't been to nearly as many college football atmospheres as you would hope.
You're young. You're a baby. I get that. But I'm just saying, is that bucket list laid out? Is there, if I say to you, let's say, Sheehan says to you, no problem. Where do you want to go? Because he's got the ability to make it happen. Three would be on your list?
You go to LSU at night. You go to a Penn State whiteout. Okay. And then, LSU at night against Bama.
Unless you've not been there, done that.
And then you go awesome. To a whiteout with Penn State, and then you probably go to Michigan, Ohio State. I don't care what venue between the two of them, just that game in general.
You got it. Okay. Those three are pretty, those are good. And, you know, back in the day, somebody might have definitely said OU and Texas. It would have been, and that's the thing about it. It just depends on who's hot, when, and where. But those venues, yeah, it's hard to beat. LSU at night is just, it's special. The smell of gumbo in the parking lot is overwhelming. And the fact is, like, people have kitchens. You think Tailgate Ted's got a thing going. I mean, it's like full out. It's almost like people, it's amazing. It's amazing what's going on. And, I can't wait to see you at these spots. Tennessee, off the water. The riverboat is amazing, man. It's amazing. There are so many different, the 12th man, the Aggies. It's no joke. It is no joke. There's a whole bunch of things that you can really get excited about, that home atmosphere. Sandman, no joke. No joke. And you were talking about getting Kevin to do that. If you guys go down there and go live at Virginia Tech home against Sandman, promise me you'll be giving me a thumbs up on the tweet immediately on X once you go through, after you recover from it. Yes, yeah, I get excited just talking about it. I mean, it's Ohio. Where's the big one that this week? I think it's in Columbus this year. The war is in Columbus. You know, and back in the day when Auburn and Alabama, when they were both really, really, I mean, Alabama's still doing it. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. All right, man. That was a good one. Really appreciate. We got a lot of support today, and that was awesome. David Harrison, Ken Harvey, and Denton Day, man, you're a miracle worker. Thank everybody that participated. Beg your pardon? Yeah, and all the canine community, man, number of love for you. God bless all of you. Brace yourself. The rooster's next. Cock-a-doodle-doo.